In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. You forgave the iniquity of my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God to all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We confess responsibly, speak responsibly the words of the introit. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. How lovely is your dwelling place. Behold our shield, O God. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. O Lord of hosts, even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Good work. Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, send forth your Son to lead home his bride, the Church, that with all the company of the redeemed, we may finally enter into his eternal wedding feast. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated. The Old Testament lesson for this Sunday is taken from the prophet Amos, the 5th chapter. Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord. Why would you have the day of the Lord? It is darkness and not light, as if a man fled from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand against the wall and a serpent bit him. Is not the day of the Lord darkness and not light, and gloom with no brightness in it? I despise your feasts, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them, and the peace offerings of your fatted animals, I will not look upon them. Take away from me the noise of your songs, to the melody of your harps I will not listen. But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. This is the word of our Lord. These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. Blessed are those whose strength is in you. The epistle lesson for this Sunday is taken from Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. This is the word of our Lord. Please rise out of respect for the words and deeds of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel for this morning is taken from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter. This, along... This, along with the other readings, will be the text for our meditation this morning. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, 'Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all the virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves.' And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered, 'Truly I say to you, I do not know you.' Watch therefore, for you do not know the day nor the hour. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard these words of the gospel, we confess our faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We will sing the sermon hymn 857, Lord, Help Us Walk Your Servant Way. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the word for our text is all three lessons put together, woven together. So may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. As usual, I like to tell stories about my family. My wife is a bargain hunter. She grew up poor, and so she always looks to find a bargain. And so she loves, at the Kroger, but interesting, used to have these woohoo little stickers on there, and they don't say that anymore. But anyway, that's what's basically her philosophy. Woohoo, I found a deal. So anyway, she loves to buy, we drink a lot of milk. We're like all moo cows in our house, all four of us. So we love our milk, but it's expensive. So she loves to get milk that's been marked down because the expiration date is getting kind of close. Now that creates a little bit of an issue sometimes because you don't always know exactly when it's going to go bad. Is it going to make it all the way to the day past it? You know, all you know is when you open it up and woo, okay, I guess that one went bad. So yes, you don't know when it's going to happen, but there's no doubt when it does. A lot of things in life are unpredictable. We may think we know the date, but not necessarily. So Jesus tells the parable about the 10 virgins. It's still hard for us these days to grasp when you don't even know the date or time of a wedding. They're this couple's getting married, but who knows when? Because these days, at least this is what happens in my family, we get these cards in the mail. Save the date. It's like a year away, you know, but you already get that date, you know, and because that's the world we live in. And the thing is even with that much notice, some people still won't make it. You know, you tell them that far in advance, they still won't make it. And even with all kinds of advance notice, my wife can't always get to places on time. She's definitely a true Southern person. She lives on SPT, Southern Person Time. So she gets there when she gets there. It's the joke in my family. I still have it. She dies first. I haven't decided if she's going to be early for her funeral for the first time in her life, be early, or if I'll just make her late like she always is. So haven't decided yet. I'll worry about that when the time comes. That's right. And she's also joked that she would make me late for my funeral because as a Yankee, I'm from Illinois, if you're not 10 minutes early, you're late. That's kind of how we work. But anyway, so yeah, even when people know, they aren't always on time. It's a little, I always thought, I've been Christian all my life, in the Lutheran church all my life, so I've seen the church year cycle come, boom, 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 boom. You know, about this time of year, people are getting all fired up about Christmas and Thanksgiving, and you know, next Sunday I'll be in Illinois, God willing, at my church I grew up in, you know, to celebrate Thanksgiving up there that week. But yeah, this time of year, before we get to Thanksgiving, we look at the second coming of Christ. So before we get to celebrate the first coming of Christ, Christmas, we always have the end of the church year. That's what this is. It's the church year begins in Advent and proceeds all the way till this time of year. And so at the end of the church year, it's appropriate to look at the end, you know, Christ's return. And so each of the three texts deal with this. First of all, is it a good thing? That's what Prophet Amos talks about, you know. And then Paul in his letter talk about, what about those who have gone on before us? Will they be there too? And then lastly, what does it mean to be ready, you know, for that day? So, first lesson from the prophet Amos, especially that's always kind of the challenge. They give you a lesson that's just a snippet of the whole book, and sometimes there's a lot that goes before and things that come after that help you understand it a little better. So that may be kind of puzzling if you remember, as I was reading it to you, it's like, you know, the day of the Lord, it sounds like kind of a bad thing. You know, it's darkness rather than light, you know. And really, you have to understand what's been going on before. You know, the prophet Amos has been sent. And generally, when God sends a prophet to people, there's usually a problem. There's usually something going wrong. And so he's been, in the previous chapters of the book, he's been telling about God's judgment on these other surrounding nations, basically the people of Israel's enemies. You know, they're going to get judged. They're like, yeah, we'd love to get these people to get judged. Kind of like if we said, yeah, we'd love for China to get judged, or Russia, or really Iran. Well, we'd really like to get those people to get judged. So it's kind of cheering, you know, that at the thought of them getting judged. But, you know, you have to be careful what you ask for, though, because you might not like it. You know, because when God judges others, he doesn't stop there. You know, judgment begins with the household of God. What if he judged us too? You know, how would the people of Israel stand that the prophet Amos was sent to? And according to the text, God's not too pleased with what's going on with them because their hearts were not. That's the whole reason the prophet was sent, not to just tell on everybody else, but rather to say, hey, guys, you know, things aren't right. Something needs to be done about this. You know, God's not stupid. People cannot go through the motions religiously and then live contrary to God's ways and think everything's going to be all right, that God's not going to notice. You know, he's not stupid, you know. And Christians, we can operate that way sometimes too. Well, since we go to church and we tithe and all these kind of things, maybe it's okay to compromise a little bit in terms of the way we live in order to fit in. You know, I can remember that in high school and so forth. Or because we really enjoy it. I remember a guy in the fraternity house I lived in. It was supposedly a Lutheran fraternity house. Anyway, the pastor would come teach Bible and say, yeah, I'm just not really ready right now. I'm having too good a time. You know, I could tell you he was having a good time in his own way of thinking. But yes, he wasn't really living and operating in God's ways. You know, now God makes it clear in the prophet Amos and in other places that he's not as interested in people's religious activities. You know, what do you do really? But rather in a person's heart and the person's relationship with him. That's the thing that matters. when it comes to Christ's return, we don't rejoice because somebody else is going to get in trouble. Somebody else is going to be judged. Not at all. We don't rejoice in it, nor do we take for granted how we're going to measure up. Because if we get that same scale applied to us, how are we going to measure up? But we rely upon the love and the mercy of God shown to us in Jesus Christ. That's what matters. And so I pray for, current events, it's like, yeah, I hope those Hamas terrorists, they just roast in hell. That back in 2001, some of it, I hope he just roasts in hell. It's like, no, I pray that he would repent and come to know Jesus. That would be a miraculous, wonderful thing. I don't believe that happened, but naturally, I don't rejoice in anybody spending an eternity in hell. There's nothing good about that. I pray that they would have the same repentance and faith, that I have. That's the thing. So it's kind of, that's kind of a childhood. I like it when somebody else gets a spanking, but that's not right. That's not good. That's not how it's supposed to work. Now, a person may say, of course, we know that nobody really knows when the last day is going to be, why even bother talking about the last day since we don't know when it's going to be? That's definitely true. Jesus said that that's kind of an interesting thing. Jesus himself, the divine Son of God, says, I don't know when it's going to be. The Father knows, but I don't. That's interesting. So that tells you, I remember when I moved to Texas, my welcome to Texas, you've probably heard the story, you saw this billboard. This was in 2011, May 20-something on 11, Jesus is going to come. And we're all sitting here, so apparently that didn't happen. Either it did, and we just didn't notice. I don't know, How would you not notice something like that? But anyway, so when somebody says they know when it's going to be, they're automatically wrong. If I told you it's going to be such and such time, or if I told you it's not going to be tomorrow, I'm wrong, because I don't know. If Jesus doesn't know, certainly none of us are going to know either. Anyway, so if we don't know that, and if it's probably not going to be in our lifetime, as some people think, why would we talk about it? Well, like I said, the first is definitely true. We don't know when it's going to be. But the second, to say it's not going to be in our lifetime, I don't know about that necessarily. I kind of think it might be, but I don't really know for sure. But anyway, it doesn't matter that we don't know when it's going to be. We talk about it because for each of us, there will be a last day in this world. For each of us, there will be a judgment day. We don't know when it is. We don't know when our last day in this world is, but we know that that it's coming. We may not see it coming. Some people get the blessing, of being able to see, kind of like, okay, I knew of some people I know, their brother was in the hospital, they knew he was dying, and he did pass away just recently. And so that's a case where a person does kind of see it coming. In his case, he was angry with God, and so there was a lot of prayer for him, and I never did hear how things turned out with him in the end. But he had the blessing of knowing. Other people don't. Another person I know, he was healthy and everything, and he had what's called a widow maker, something like a hardness in the heart that you don't even know you got, and he didn't feel good, and like 5 seconds later, he was dead. That was how quick it was. So you don't always know. So when that time comes, that is for each of us judgment day. Paul, it's written in Hebrews chapter 9, it is appointed for everybody once to die, and then the judgment. Judgment is unavoidable, but we have no reason to fear or avoid it whatsoever. We have already been judged righteous in Jesus Christ our Lord. Our sins, the whole lot of them, every single one of them, have already been judged and condemned. That's what we confess, and that kind of gets re-announced. It's not like we have to go through it every week, but it's a very helpful thing for us to go through it every week, to have those forgiveness. All of our sins have been nailed to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ and been judged and condemned in his body. And so we were washed in his blood, we were cleansed in him and forgiven through our baptism. And so we don't have to worry about Judgment Day. The thing about Judgment Day is basically, it's not like this. My sister's an accountant, God love her, but God's not an accountant. Like he's like, okay, here's this balance sheet. We got this balance sheet up somewhere. How are we stacking up? Our good stuff or bad stuff? It's very simple. Accounting is very difficult. I'm an actuary, and I don't even understand accounting half the time. But all the rules and stuff. But that's not how God's ledger is very simple. You either believe and trust in Jesus Christ or you don't. That's all there is to it. Because everybody's sins are beyond counting. Nobody's right in God's sight by it. Nobody has ever done enough good stuff to cancel out the bad that we did. Never happens. only thing that matters is our relationship with Jesus Christ. And so all Judgment Day is finalizing what's always been true about a person. Those who have dodged God and had wanted nothing to do with God their entire life, they're allowed to have that. God doesn't want that. That's why God puts people like the guy I mentioned on in a deathbed, maybe to give them an extra chance or whatever. God knows whatever a person needs, you know. But that's it. You know, that's so it's not like, you know, God wants everybody to be saved and come to knowledge. So again, it's not this accounting or somebody's too bad or not good enough or whatever. That's the kind of thing human beings talk about. But that's not how God operates. He wants everybody to be saved, but if they don't want him, they don't have to spend eternity with him. That's really what it ends up boiling down to. So, because we've already been judged and uncleansed in Jesus Christ, when that time comes for us, when we're clothed in Christ's righteousness alone, we will receive that invitation from our risen Lord and Savior. And from Matthew 25, come, you who are blessed in by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of this world. And so it's for this reason that Paul, in his letter as we read, said, we don't grieve as those who have no hope, because we know, you know, those who have gone before us, those we love in Christ, we know what their situation is. We don't have to worry. I wonder how their judgment came up. Don't have to worry about it. I'm not worried about my grandparents. I'm not worried about my dad, how their judgment came up. You know, I knew my dad, you know, his goods and bads and everything else. But I also talked with him, you know, a couple days before he died. And we had I was blessed to have a great conversation with him. And he was a lifelong Christian. And we were talking about his funeral and what he wanted to have said. So I look forward to seeing my dad again. And of course my grandparents, you could never meet better Christian people from a human perspective than my dear grandparents. Even my wife talks about them, and she didn't even get to know them that well. Last Sunday, I don't know what y'all do here for All Saints Day, but on last Sunday, we remember, you know, the saints who have gone before who have left this world in the previous year. And we rejoice in the fact that while their time in this world is done, they are not done. They are only just beginning. Far from it. They and we are and always will be with the Lord as his chosen and his beloved. Paul directs us to encourage each other with these words. So that's part of the point of going talking about the last day and so forth. This is an encouragement to us as we go through day-to-day life in this world, which is not always easy, that we have something to look forward to. It's not something to dread, but something to look forward to. And now, lastly, the 10 virgins. What's going on with these people? It's a little, some of these stories, because our culture, our world today is so different than it was in the time of Jesus or the time of Moses, whatever. So it can be kind of hard to understand what's up with this, what's going on. You know, we don't understand wedding customs at Jesus' time, very different from ours. I think they're wonderful, actually. And really, a lot of things in the Bible kind of tie into this whole business of Jesus doesn't know what day he's coming back, but the Father does. Because back in those days, when two people would get engaged, they would have a ceremony where they would get engaged. This kind of came up with Joseph and Mary, because they were engaged to be married, and all of a sudden Mary's pregnant. Wait a minute, that's not right. That's something's very wrong. And so it even says Joseph was planning to divorce her, because that's how serious engagement. She says, "Oh, I'm just going to break our engagement." No, it was basically like a divorce. But anyway, so there'd be this year-longish time period where the groom, because back in those days, you know, the groom would make an extra room or two onto the at his family's house for him and his wife to live in. And so he would be working away at it, preparing that, and the bride would be spending that year getting prepared with all the kind of preparation brides do anyway. And neither one of them would really know exactly when it was going to be. It would be up to the dad, the father of the groom, to decide, okay, it's done, it's ready, go get your bride, let's do this. And that could be any time of the day or night. You would never know. That was the kind of the waiting that was there. And so a horn would blow announcing it, and then the groom would set out. And as you can see in the story, even then there's, you know, again, different time frame, although even today, like I said with my wife, people oftentimes take a lot longer than you think they're going to. So, you know, the groom's going to set out. He's got to go pick up his bride. Who knows how long it takes her to get her stuff all set out. So these virgins, they didn't have any idea. They heard the call. No idea how long this is going to take. And so that's where the whole wise and foolish come in. This is not their first rodeo. It's not like they had no clue that it was going to be like this. This is how it works all the time in weddings at that time. So the wise ones, they were ready. They put their heart into it. They were prepared. They knew how it went, so they took extra. The foolish, they just grabbed the lamps and went without any care or preparation whatsoever. They weren't worried about it. Maybe they thought they'd sponge off the other ones or something. Who knows? You know, they didn't put themselves into it. And so they were not ready. This parable follows right after and illustrates the previous chapter in chapter 24 where Jesus says, "So also you must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." So the whole theme, as the disciples were asking Jesus right before his death, when's this all going to happen? As you're talking about the end, when you come again, when's this all going to happen? And so he's telling them, and the big theme of it is, be ready, be prepared. So, closing question, how can we be ready for Christ's return if we don't even know when it's going to be? Do you kind of sit up on your roof and watch? Okay. As a matter of fact, the letter of Paul to the Thessalonians is one of the ones that deals in the greatest detail with the return of Jesus Christ, because these Thessalonians, who were mostly not Jews, not some of them were, but mostly they kind of got a little mixed up about stuff. So some of them, because Jesus is going to return soon, we don't know. We're going to quit our jobs and we're going to sit and wait. We're going to sit up there and watch and wait and have hot popcorn or whatever and watch for it. So is that what you do? Jesus is coming, so let's go. Because it would always happen. And even like this thing that happened back in 2011. What if people, when somebody, some preacher, some group of people say, Jesus is coming, what do they do? They sell all their stuff. Why? Who cares? I mean, if Jesus is coming tomorrow, who cares about selling all your stuff? Who cares about doing this or that? You just get ready for it. Some of it's kind of ridiculous if you think about it. But other people, and I know I've never really gotten into this too much, but I know some people who have. Do you watch the news? My wife's cousin, it's actually her mom's cousin, but anyway, they call him Cousin Robert. He at one point, good Christian man, but he really got into the whole, let's have the newspaper in one hand and the Bible in the other, let's try to figure this out. Let's try, this is happening and this, I'm trying to coordinate it. So is that what it means to be ready? To try to watch the news and world events and see how they match up with the Bible, especially with Revelation and Daniel, these books that are really hard to understand because they're visions. Is that how you do it? The church I served in Mississippi, one of the dear ladies there, her husband was not a member, didn't come to church. But later on in the time there, he started watching TV preachers. He still didn't come to church, but he started watching TV preachers. But it was those kind of TV preachers that spend all their time trying to predict the end, all their time talking about the coming of Jesus and how this world event means this. And so he was all fascinated by that. Now, apparently that was much more interesting than going to church. He'd sit at home and watch that. So was he ready? No, exactly not. Not at all. It's interesting. I didn't really realize this. I mean, I knew what, there's a thing that tells us what the readings are for the day. I knew this was about the last. I didn't realize until a couple days ago that this was like a Mission Sunday here at the church. But Mission Sunday reminds us of what being ready for Christ's return is really all about. Being about the work of his kingdom. Since you don't know the day, you don't really worry about it. You just know this time is limited. And of course, like I said, for any given person, time is very limited. We don't know how long anybody, including ourselves, are going to be alive. So you get busy. You be about the work of the kingdom. When Jesus later in chapter 25, this is, the sermon text is from chapter 25, listed all the things that those on his right hand did, the blessed did, feeding those who are hungry, giving drink to those who are thirsty, clothing those who needed clothes, all those things, welcoming the stranger, visiting those who were in prison, all those things he talked about, that's what being ready means. Not just living as if life has no meaning or purpose beyond just existing or sitting there with the remote, just entertaining ourselves. I sometimes get into that a little bit that myself, But it means, being ready means living as though life is a gift from God, a precious gift from God, and that we are God's gifts to others. It doesn't matter what talents, abilities, or whatever we think we have, we are still a gift from God to be a blessing to other people. There's no two ways about it. It doesn't mean having to do big things. Maybe God does put that on a person's heart, to do a big thing, whether it's the orphan grain train, or there's all kind of different things that Christians have, you know, God has called Christians into that have made a big difference. You know, Samaritan's Purse, there's the son of Billy Graham is part of. There's a lot of different ones, but it doesn't mean you have to do big things. Maybe it's just somebody is sick and you take them a meal. You know, I can tell you that this is 17, almost 18 years. You know, I've always, when we had those twin boys and our church brought us meals. Wow, was that a big? They were good too. Yeah, especially I think it's like, I still remember some of them. But anyway, it's not just how good the food. It was just the fact that we were so wiped out, and here food just showed up like manna from heaven. So that is just an example of something that made a big. And so, and ever since then, when we, our church or in different places, you know, people, you know, like the people whose brother just passed away, what can we do for you? What can we do? And usually people say, oh, not much. So, you know, take food, do whatever needs to be done. You know, my wife signed up. We have a thing called Task Busters at church so that if somebody needs, because she works at home. She doesn't have a job. So if somebody needs to be taken to the doctor or whatever, she'll drive them to it. You know, not a big thing, but it's just a way of being of service to people, of showing Christ's love to people. People within the church, and then things that can be done to people. And yeah, so I try to approach each day. And granted, I forget, and I get myself distracted by this, that, and the other thing. But you know, when I go into work 2 days a week to eat lunch with my work buddies, that's what my wife says, and that's basically the truth of it, because I can work from home. But I think about, you know, these guys don't know Christ. How can I be a good, you know, good witness? I'm not going to just sit there and start hammering on them, but just, you know, whatever, you know, pray each time I'm there with them. How can I be a good witness to them? Because I've been seeing them now for almost 10 years. So, you know, just looking for ways to be a blessing to other people, even little ways, big ways, making a difference in somebody's life, you know, and I, the real shame for me is I have to remember that about the three people that live in my house. You know, how do I, you know, how am I a blessing to them? Because they can be quite an aggravation to me, and I'm sure I'm an aggravation to them sometimes. But, you know, all the different people that we come into, our neighbors, you know, that we hardly even know the names of, you know, how can we be a blessing? So just keeping that, you know, praying is a very good start in terms of being ready, because when it's what we do every night when we go to bed. We have our family, myself, my wife, and the boys, and we have, you know, prayers for different people, and some, okay, yeah, some people will chuck different ones in that they heard about. Praying is a good start because it directs our focus away from ourselves. And I can tell you, I have a very strong self-focus at times, and towards God and towards other people. And when you start praying for people, it's not just praying. I mean, that's a wonderful thing. I mean, we don't even know exactly all that happens because of the prayers that we do, because that's unleashing the power of God in people's lives. But it also directs our focus. And so if I'm praying for somebody, I might actually think about, what could I do for this person? What could I say to this person? Whatever the case may be. All those kind of things, big and small, are part of being ready for the return of Christ. Almost everything in this world has an expiration date, including the very world and universe itself has an expiration date. We, on the other hand, do not have an expiration date. Our time here in this world has an expiration date. There's a little meter that we can't see ticking. You know, days, you know, my pastor at our church, he can tell you day, hour, minute, second, how long it is till Christmas. That's his thing. He loves, he's a Christian. You could ask him in March, how many days to Christmas, Pastor John? He can get it down for you. And so the cell also, I mean, that's a funny thing, but so also our lives in this world have a timer. We just don't see it. We don't think about it, you know. But but our time in God's eyes is infinite, is eternal. You know, sometimes I've told you this. Sometimes I'd volunteer for the next ticket out of this place. You know, it's like can I be done? You know, I'm just tired of life, tired of the world, tired of everything. But I know, especially nowadays, you know, because again, because of the people I live with, that I have a reason and purpose for being here right now, and it'd be kind of selfish to try to check out and get out and say, okay, I'm ready for eternity and be done with all you bums, you know, in my house. Look, not you guys, but the bums in my house. And believe me, two teenagers, they're bums sometimes. Yeah, so they're almost sometimes people only God can love. But by the grace of God, I do too. But anyway, you know, there is a reason, but yes, for being here. But we are reminded, you know, especially once a year, they're in the church year, of the last day of Christ to encourage us to make the most of the time that we have in service to Christ, in service to people that he loves. And also we're reminded that it's not something dreadful or to be avoided, but that rather, as we're told, as Jesus tells us at the end of Luke, when we see that day approach, to lift up our heads because our salvation is drawing near. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, whose coming we look forward to with joy. Amen. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord, you are our help and deliverer. We bring to you the prayers and petitions of your people that you may grant us all things needful and guard us against all things harmful. Lord, in your mercy, O Lord, preserve your people from believing that you are pleased with us because of our works or ceremonies. Grant that what we do in worship and prayer may proclaim salvation in Christ Jesus alone. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you bestow favor and honor and withhold nothing from those who walk uprightly. Bless parents and those who teach children your ways, that generations to come would love your promises, walk in your truth, and dwell in your house. Lord, in your mercy. Righteous God, you despise corruption and command justice. Embolden our rulers and all in authority to enact and defend measures that preserve peace and provide justice for all. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, show mercy to those who cry aloud as they await your Son's coming in glory. We lift up also to you Pastor Scott and Judy Stallings, Larry Foltz, Robert Galabias, Mary and Alfred Durson, Jerry Schaffner, Dean and Sue Soberly, Barbara Hanvey, Scott Papka, Don and Donna Tolner, J.D. Reyes, Bria Escobedo, and the family of Bob Ditter. Answer them with strength and healing, comfort and hope. Make them confident in Christ, who will raise his people on the last day. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, grant that we may not grieve as those who have no hope, but rejoice and encourage each other in the promise of the resurrection to life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy. God of all salvation, we know neither day nor the hour of Christ's return, but we know that he has died and is risen again to open the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Until that day, preserve us in faith and guard us from all temptation. Do not let us be caught unprepared for his coming. Let us live our days in loving service and joyful expectation of the life of the world to come. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We pray together the prayer our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Almighty and merciful God, we have again worshipped in your presence and received both forgiveness for our many sins and the assurance of your love in Jesus Christ. We thank you for this undeserved grace and ask you to keep us in faith until we inherit eternal salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Thank you.